Now this evening we come to an ordination service. We come to ordain Jeff George in your presence to the office of an elder, but also an office that involves the task of shepherding. In our first scripture reading in Acts 20, verses 17 and following, we had Paul telling the presbytery at Ephesus, reminding them of his pastoral ministry among them. He reminded them of the manner in which he carried that out with great humility, with great diligence, with tears, with sympathy, compassion, prayer. He did it both publicly and house to house. But he called the elders to him, as we read in verse 17. And then, in verse 20, we're told that they are overseers, that God hath, through the Holy Spirit, made them overseers. These elder overseers are called in verse 28 to feed the church of God. Now, what's interesting about the original here is this word here, though translated feed a few times in the New Testament, often is translated shepherd. And so we have here the fact that the elders as well as ministers are called to shepherd the sheep. In other words, shepherding involves feeding, but shepherding involves more than feeding. To tend a flock, you have to do more than just make sure the sheep under your care are fed. And so Paul, I think, is grasping all of the biblical metaphors relative to shepherding as he calls these elder overseers to the task of shepherding. Now, as we sang Psalm 23, we were reminded that ultimately God is our shepherd. And He is uniquely, through Jesus Christ, the chief shepherd, as Peter says in 1 Peter 5. The great shepherd that Paul refers to in Hebrews 12. But also the good shepherd that Jesus Himself denotes Himself by in John 10. You see, in Psalm 21... Psalm 23, verse 1, we have what's called an enthymon. It's a form of speech that is a logical syllogism with something missing, something unsaid that's assumed. Notice that first in verse 1 of chapter 23 of Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, or I shall not lack anything. You see what's assumed there? There's a couple things assumed. One thing's assumed is that a shepherd is all about meeting all the needs of the sheep. That's one assumption that's unspoken here in verse 1. There's another assumption unspoken in verse 1, and that is the Lord is all wise and is all powerful. So the Lord and the Lord Himself knows exactly what His sheep need. And the Lord Himself has the ability to meet every one of those needs Himself. And so as we consider the duties of an under-shepherd, I think it's important for us to recognize that those duties are those that are following the example of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, the good shepherd of the sheep. And so as I thought about the subject of shepherding and how predominant it is in Scripture, I thought it'd be appropriate for us to consider particularly this passage in Ezekiel 34. If you noted, you notice the first part of this chapter, God is, through the prophet Ezekiel, speaking very harshly, very firmly, in a very condemnatory way towards those that were carrying out the shepherding function in Israel at the time. Likely referring to the kings, but also likely referring to the ecclesiastical or church officers in this period. God, through Ezekiel, calls them shepherds, but he continually says there are no shepherds. In other words, these shepherds aren't true shepherds. And in this context, we then have this prophetic word concerning the coming of the good shepherd. What his shepherding will be like. And clearly this is a model, a pattern for all shepherds amongst God's people. So we're going to speak briefly about sheep and shepherds today, focusing on Ezekiel 34 as we consider six primary functions of a true shepherd of God's sheep. But before we do, let's just talk about what sheep are like. What are sheep like? Probably some of you young girls are saying, oh, sheep are cute. Aren't sheep cute? When you see a picture of them, maybe a painting, maybe a little stuffed animal. But how many seasoned shepherds would call their sheep cute? I would contend none. Well, why? What are sheep like? They're born to wander. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've all gone off to our own way. There may be some of you present today that are still wandering in your own way. That haven't come to recognize that and to turn to the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So sheep wander, they need a gatherer. Sheep are also pretty dumb. They're not very smart animals. They need a teacher. They need somebody to guide them and lead them. They're also directionless. You see, a shepherd can take sheep from a sheepfold to a place of green pasture over and over and over again. But if that shepherd leaves them, the next morning when the sun rises, those sheep will not know the direction to go to the green pasture by themselves. Some of you may have cats. Right? They find a way of getting back home usually, don't they? A lot of animals have the instinct of being able to know where food is found, to know where home is, but sheep don't. They need a leader. Sheep also don't take care of themselves very well. Children, have you ever seen a sheep that's fallen over? They can't even get back up on their own strength. They need a shepherd to restore them. They need a shepherd to give them the medicines and the balms that they might need from the scrapes and the bruises that they might get. Also, sheep are easily divided. They not only need to be gathered, they need to be regathered. They don't like to stay together. And they're also defenseless. They need a protector. What a great example of an animal and of a relationship between a shepherd and a sheep that the Lord has established. And it is a dominant metaphor throughout all of Scripture to describe God's people and the care that the leaders of God's people are to take over them. So let's look at six functions of a true shepherd, a shepherd after God's own heart, here from Ezekiel 34 in particular. First, a true shepherd is called to gather the flock. Verse 11 and verse 13, "For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land. You see, we have something similar in Isaiah 40:11. There we're told the shepherd, the chief shepherd Jesus, shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom. Speaks of the task of evangelism and missions and church planting. Sheep are to be gathered. That's what Jesus is referring to in John 10 when he speaks of himself as the good shepherd. There in 10:16, Jesus says, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. They're not of the Jews. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there they shall be one fold and one shepherd." Here in John 10, Jesus is speaking about the Gentiles that have not come under the sound of the gospel. Part of the task of ministers and elders is to proclaim the gospel of God's grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. To bring the Savior to needy sinners. To be like Abraham's servant to woo the woman to his master's son. And that is our high calling as true shepherds of God's sheep. Secondly, a true shepherd of God's sheep is called to feed or to teach the flock. See that again here in verse 13 and following. "I will feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture. And upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock. I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God." Did you get the point, people? God says, the Father says through Ezekiel, His Son will feed His sheep. Four times in those 2.5 verses. I will feed, I will feed, I will feed. Similar to Isaiah 40:11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. That means the true shepherds teach publicly and house to house in accordance with their gifts. It means they're concerned about the needs of individual sheep as well as the flock as a whole, and work together as shepherds of a flock to evaluate the needs and to present the teaching that's most necessary, most needful at any given time for a group of gathered believers in a local congregation. Remember, God said through Jeremiah, "I will give you pastors." That word again in the Hebrew could be translated shepherds. "I will give you shepherds according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." We as ignorant sheep need the Word of God, and we need it brought to us by those who are exemplifying the Word of God in their life, who know us, and to bring God's Word to bear in our lives for our good. But thirdly, a true shepherd is called to lead the flock. Again, Ezekiel 34:13. "And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land." Now, a number of us have been effectually drawn to the Savior here through the work of the Spirit. But we all don't live in the same country, do we? You see, here in Ezekiel 34, it's metaphorically suggesting that as God gathers His people into a new nation, a new community, that we all gather together in one place. Well, that's metaphorically true, but it's not physically true. We haven't all moved somewhere. God hasn't taken us and planted us necessarily in a new location. But what He has done is, by His grace, He's changed our citizenship. And now we're all citizens of the kingdom of God. And so we have been gathered from among the countries. And God is still gathering His sheep into His fold throughout the world. So a shepherd is not only called to gather the flock and feed the flock and lead the flock, he's also called to nurse the flock. To nurse the flock. Again, here in Ezekiel 34, verse 16, Christ says, "I will bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that which was sick." This very well may be one of the most neglected functions of elders in our day. There are many sheep that are broken and sick and that need the tender care of loving shepherds, bringing the Word of God to encourage and comfort those that are downcast. Jesus did not break the bruised reed, and neither should those He's called to this task. Remember in Psalm 23, verse 3, we're told, "He restoreth my soul." The Lord often restores our souls through those He's called to assist in that task. The Lord also anoints our head with oil. And so should shepherds be in the anointing business. Encouraging, comforting with the balm of Gilead, with the gospel of God's grace to those that are struggling. I think we even see something of this in the qualifications for the elder given in 1 Timothy chapter 3. In verse 4 and 5, we're told that an elder must rule well his house because he has to care for the church. It doesn't say because he has to rule in the church, because he has to care for the flock. In other words, this rule that he has in the home is a caring rule. And if he's demonstrated that caring rule in the home, then we have some assurance he'll demonstrate that caring rule amongst the sheep of the local congregation that the Lord has called him to serve in. And so, a true shepherd is not only called to gather the flock and called to teach the flock and called to lead the flock and called to nurse the flock, he's also called to regather the flock. Jesus, the shepherd, seeks out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered. He says he'll seek out his sheep. He'll deliver them out of all the places they've been scattered. And any of us that have been in the pastoral ministry or in the eldership for a number of years know that sheep can find the strangest places to get scattered to. And there'll be cloudy and dark days when they're driven away. But Christ says He'll seek that which was lost. He'll bring again that which was driven away. Job himself was that kind of elder. We're told in Job 4:4, "Thy words have upholden him that was falling, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees." That's the kind of man Job was. I think also if we consider, most of us probably know Matthew 18:15 and following, don't we? "If your brother sins against you, go to him. If he doesn't hear, go get two or three witnesses," right? "Then go call the church." We as Presbyterians understand that to refer to the officers, the elders, the minister of the local congregation. Just as the Lord God in Mount Sinai told Moses to speak to Israel. And when Moses comes down from the mount, he gathers the elders. So here when we're to call the church, call the elders to bring this up. But how many of us have seen the context of those verses in the whole of Matthew 18? have you recognized that that is sandwiched between the earlier part of the chapter where Jesus tells us that we have to be like little children in our simplistic faith, coming into the kingdom. Then he speaks a great warning to those that would cause any little ones to stumble. And then from that he moves into the discussion of the one lost sheep. Won't a shepherd go after one lost sheep when there's 99 and he can be comfortable and he's only lost one? That shepherd will go after that one anyway, risking his own hide potentially for that one lost sheep. It's in that context that Jesus then speaks this passage about speaking to a brother who sinned against you. Also, following that passage, we have that great parable of the one who is forgiven much, who but could not forgive a little. You see, that whole chapter is about going after lost sheep. So a true shepherd is called not only to gather the sheep initially, to teach the sheep God's word, the whole counsel of God, to lead God's people, to nurse God's people, and to regather God's people, but also he's called to protect God's people. In Ezekiel 34:16, we're told that Jesus will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. It appears to be referring to false brethren. Paul, in the end of 2 Corinthians, could speak of the persecutions that he underwent by false brethren. Shepherds need to protect the sheep from false brethren. Lord willing, tomorrow we'll be looking in our communion sermon on Song of Songs, verse 1. And there the bride says that the children of her mother have directed her and caused her to have to be the one that keeps the vineyard. In other words, they've despised her. It's very interesting. Matthew Henry says, note, it's the children of the mother, not the children of the father. The children of the father are the true sheep, but there are false brethren in the pale. And God's true sheep need to be protected by their true shepherds. God had earlier told Ezekiel that he was to be that kind of shepherd. In Ezekiel 3:17, he said, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. Now, if you noted, Paul clearly seems to be alluding back to this passage in Acts 20 as he speaks to the Ephesian elders. He was called to watch. He was called to warn, just like Ezekiel in the Old Testament economy. In Titus chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, we're told that an elder overseer is to be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For Paul goes on to say, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. Well, not a whole lot has changed in 2,000 years. There's still plenty unruly and vain talkers, and you could even say a lot of them are still of the circumcision. And now they have some technological tools that weren't available to the previous Judaizers of the first century. These unruly and vain people have Facebook and the internet and all other sorts of methods to expose the true people of God to error and to harm. You see, Paul had told the Ephesian elders that they better take care, take heed to themselves and to the flock, recognizing that God had made them overseers through His Spirit, recognizing that the people that they were made shepherds of were Christ's people, purchased by His precious blood. And so Paul could say, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among the flock, not sparing the flock." And that still goes on today. And so I hope we've seen four functions that the Lord Jesus, as our good chief and great shepherd, carries out, and that He carries out oftentimes immediately through under-shepherds, those that He has called to shepherd a sheep in given locales, the people under their care. So I'd speak to any of you who know not the Good Shepherd. I hope that this evening you've recognized yourself to be a sheep without a shepherd, going your own way. Oh, I pray that you might see yourself as such and might flee to the Great Shepherd, the Good Shepherd of many of our souls. For there and there only will you find rest for your soul. But I would speak to the elders amongst us, to those that have been called to shepherd God's sheep. And we need to take account of the high calling that's ours. Reminded that we serve the chief shepherd, the good shepherd, the shepherd who always knows what's best for the sheep and goes out of His way to make it happen for a sheep. Let us be those kind of shepherds. Because God had said through Jeremiah, "I will give you pastors or shepherds according to My heart." In other words, according to those that I've selected. But it also appears in the original to suggest that those people that have been called to that task will have that heart for the sheep that God Himself has. That's what we're called to care for the sheep. And when we care for the sheep genuinely, many of our foibles in lack of knowledge and lack of ability will be made up through our humble and loving care of the sheep we're seeking to assist. And so for you sheep, those of you that have been gathered by the chief shepherd, those of you that will here in a moment have to take a vow of humble submission to Christ's lordship through this new elder, I would ask you to be mindful of all of your needs that have been taken care of through by the chief shepherd up to this point in your life. And remember that goodness and mercy, like two sheepdogs behind the flock, are ever protecting our rearward as God leads us to His eternal home, where we will be gathered as His flock, all one, praising the name of our great Savior. Let us rise for prayer. Our great God and great King, we come unto Thee through Thy Son, acknowledging that by nature we were sheep going our own way, having no interest in Thee. But we thank Thee, O Lord, that Thou hast been merciful to us. And though by nature we were dead in trespasses and sins, we thank Thee that Thou hast led us by Thy Spirit to see our sin and to flee to the Savior, to see Your goodness and love in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that Thou hast renewed our wills and enabled us to embrace Him as our chief shepherd, as our prophet, as our priest, and as our king. We pray for any in our midst that know not the shepherd. We pray that they would flee to Him while He may be found. Be now with Thy servant whom Thou hast called to this high task. Assist him as he takes vows before Thee and before those of us His people. Bless him. Strengthen him to the task that Thou hast called him to. We ask all these things in your Son's most precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Jeff? Come now to the taking of ordination vows. Jeff, answer after me. Do you believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the Word of God written, the only infallible rule of faith and life?
I do.
Do you receive and adopt as subordinate standards the Westminster Confession of Faith and Catechisms, believing them to be founded upon and agreeable to the Word of God, in setting forth the system of truth taught in Holy Scripture? Do you sincerely own the purity of worship presently authorized and practiced in this church, and also the Presbyterian form of government as the form of government instituted by Christ and prescribed in the New Testament? And do you promise faithfully to adhere thereto?
I do.
You accept the Westminster Directory for the Public Worship of God as a scriptural and suitable guide in the conduct of public worship? And do you promise to study the purity, peace, and unity of this church and to exercise discipline according to the scriptures? And do you accept the office of elder in this congregation and promise through grace faithfully, diligently, and cheerfully to discharge all the duties thereof?
I do.
And now to the members of this congregation. Do you, the members of this church, acknowledge and receive this brother as a ruling elder? And do you promise to yield him all that honor, encouragement, and obedience in the Lord, to which his office, according to the Word of God and the Constitution of this church, entitles it? Let us pray. Our great God and great King, Thou that art our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, O Lord, that Thou hast provided another shepherd for the sheep. For, O Lord, we acknowledge there are many scattered to and fro. We thank Thee that Thou hast provided for Thy church. You have gifted men and called them to serve in this office, and we thank Thee for this man, that in Thy providence Thou hast called him to this task. Fit him for the task that is before him, we pray. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all may be seated and y'all may rise as we sing Psalm 72. Psalm 72. Verses 15 to 19 to God's praise.